to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Let's do it. It is season three of Ladies of Liverpool. If you're a regular listener, you'll know we speak to so many different women from so many different backgrounds with tons of stories to tell and lessons they've learnt along the way that they want to share with you. To start season three, we've got the one and only Claire Sweeney. And looking at the list of guests that I've got for the next couple of months, I don't know whether this series should be called You Think You Know. Well, you don't know. You might think you know Claire Sweeney. You'll know she's had her own TV shows like 60 Minute Makeover. You'll know she's performed on the West End. You'll know her career has gone from strength to strength. But do you know who Claire Sweeney is? I do. And I'm going to let you into a bit of a secret. She's a County Road girl. You're going to absolutely love her. She hasn't really changed a bit over the years. No matter how much she's achieved, she's totally grounded. And I reckon that's down to her mum. Get ready for the one and only Claire Sweeney.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Right, where are we speaking to you right now? Because I know you split your time between London and Liverpool because of work. So where are you right now?
I'm in London at the moment, sat on my bed. And my son's gone to school, which is great.
Yes! On a scale of 1 to 10, how bloody delighted are you?
Oh, so great, isn't it? So great that they're all back at school. You know, there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel now, doesn't there?
Definitely. We're definitely moving, aren't we? So a couple of things I want to talk to you about. With this podcast, I've said to people, I'm going to make it my mission this week to let people know the real side of people they think they know. And when it comes to Claire Sweeney, I think a lot of people think they know who Claire is. She's glamorous. She's done West End. She's worked with Patrick Swayze. You know, that's not the Claire I know. So I want people to know the Claire I know. So starting off with Claire as a mum, talk me through your day-to-day life, Claire.
Well, it's boring, really. You get up, do breakfast, take your kid to school, come back. There's not much work going on for me at the moment. Today's just really boring. I just went along the shop, got a coffee, went to the chemist, got some sinus spray, and I've come back and I'm sat on my bed in my bronzy chatting to you. That's my day, really.
I love this. So Bronzy, a Liverpool company, we need to give them a mention.
Yeah,
do you remember how you came about Bronzy suits?
Yeah, warm up. I've just had Jackson and all as I wanted was comfort. And I remember seeing you in warm up for the pantomime in this lovely black jumpsuit with leopard print collar. And well, since then, I buy them regularly. I bloody love them.
Oh, you could live in them, couldn't you, Claire? The brilliant.
Yeah, the best.
Find Bronzy. Go find them on Instagram. Buy yourself one. Do the girl a favour. So again, people will have an idea of being a celebrity mum. And I think you've just put that to bed. It's pretty much for you the way it is for everybody else. And more so for a lot of our mums listening right now who are doing it on their own. So can you talk us through your journey, your motherhood journey from pregnancy to actually standing up and being a mum to your gorgeous Jackson?
Well, I've done it all on my own. I mean, I'm not with his dad. I've pretty much done it all on my own, you know, financially and emotionally. I do have help. I have a lovely lady who's with me who helps me because I've got to go away to work sometimes. Yeah. So I do have help simply because I'm not up in Liverpool. I need to be down here in London for work, really. If I was up in Liverpool, I'd have my family around me. So, yeah, I do get help. It's funny, though, this year, because I travel so much with my work, he's not used to me being home so much, you know, and with this year I haven't budged, and he's become very, very clingy, and even if I want to go out the shops without him, he freaks out now. And I think that's happened during lockdown with animals and kids, hasn't it?
Definitely. I can agree with that one. I remember my dad worked away, Claire. He was on the oil rig, so he was always away, whether it was somewhere in the UK or it was abroad, and it was just us and my mum most of the time. And I can remember it going both ways. So either when he was away and he came back and I was terrified of him, I didn't know who he was, and also, you know, the other way, where when he stayed home, I got really clingy with him only for him to go again.
Yeah.
So it is tough for them, isn't it?
Ladies of Liverpool.
So, of course, when we worked together at the Empire, that's the first time we sort of got to know each other. So I didn't know you pre-motherhood. I just knew you when you had jumped in.
You know what was lovely for me then? Because, you know, a lot of my friends in the job I'm in are all gay, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't have many, especially down here in London, I didn't have any mummy friends at all. Mm-hmm. My life was just full of gay men or older women. And suddenly I remember going to rehearsal And I remember you taking the baby off me when I had to get up and like practice my routine.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful for the kindness and the bit of guidance. I remember you just taking Jackson off me and holding him while I practiced my dance steps and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jane as well, Jane Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just wonderful at that stage because the baby, I mean, it was Christmas and he was born September the 29th, you know?
That's right, yeah.
And I was so grateful of your help, just standing there and holding the baby for me. I was so grateful.
They become stuck to you. And for someone without you asking for help, I think we have to be aware that, you know, there'll be ladies listening now who've got no support whatsoever. And I just think how lucky I was, you know, having family or friends or whatever. And even in the workplace like that, if you can help someone out, it makes such a difference.
Well, it really stayed with me just that moment, that feeling of like, oh, being so happy and grateful. And yeah, relief, mm-hmm. that was it. And it stayed with me, that, so I appreciated that.
Oh, listen, anytime. He was an absolute doll. He was such a joy backstage, wasn't he? You didn't know he was there.
Oh, and he was a little
absolutely
darling, wasn't
gorgeous.
He?
We need to talk about your mum, because I love the fact that, like any Scouse girl that I know, you and your mum are thick as thieves, whether it's an event that I'll see you at or it's a work thing.
Yeah.
Or it's just a social thing. You and your mum are tight. Talk to us about your mum.
Well, my mum's great. And my dad died just a year after Jackson was born. Jackson's got my mum through, you know, and it's like my mum's just fallen in love all over again with a grandson. Oh. And, you know, it's the joy he brings her is fantastic, yeah. And my mum's wonderful. I mean, she looks amazing. She's fabulous. You know, she's got so much energy. And she's been great during lockdown. She said to me, she said, my life hasn't changed much. Because I wasn't in pub singing and dancing anyway. She says, you know, I go out for my walks and I've got my walking club and the PE and all that. And, you know, so mum's been great.
She's fabulous. Talk to me about growing up then, because, of course, you're a Waltoner, just like myself. You grew up down by County Road. Talk us through your childhood and how you managed to break into such a tough industry.
So I grew up in Carisbrook Road, just by the bus sheds.
Yeah.
And I went to the Irene Crilly School of Dance, which was just above the garage opposite our house. And the reason I went there, I used to watch Fame on a Thursday night. I love Fame. And I decided I wanted to dance. And I went there and I was a very shy kid. And I went there. And then it just kind of developed from there, really. And then I was due to go to I went to St. Francis de Sales, which I loved. I had a very, very, very happy time at that school. And then I was due to go. I wasn't very academic. I think I failed my 11 plus. And I was due to go to St. Bonaventure's. And it was the school my mum had gone to as a kid. And the headmistress there had made my mum's life hell. Really, like, traumatised, you know. And my mum took me down and it was the same headmistress. And my mum went white and shuddered when she saw her. She went, I can't send you here. And my dad was a butcher, mum was a barmaid, and they kind of scrimped and saved together and got me into Elliot Clark School.
Do you know what, Claire? Do you know how weird this is? You're talking about the dance school above the garage. Now, we've never had this conversation before. That became Mary Halford's. That's where I went because I was really shy. And quiet.
Really?
I went to St. Francis de Sales and then I went to Elliot Clark. I'm listening to this and I'm going, I lived
this
on the other
life?
Side of the drive and it's like this.
This is mad. Yeah.
How weird's that?
That is mad, isn't
Whoa.
It?
Oh, that's totally freaking me out. So there you go. And I know firsthand what it's like to go from St. Franny's into Elliot Clark. It was a totally different world, wasn't it, Claire?
Well, it was posh, you know. And to me, they were all little rich kids. And I was from Carisbrook Road. I remember I used to get the train. I used to walk down Selwyn Street and get the train. And I'd have kids, like, torturing me because I had a school hat.
Yeah.
And the, you know, and my mum went to the headmistress and my mum said, do you mind if she gets changed when she leaves school so she doesn't get beaten up walking home? I love where I'm from. And I'll tell you why I love where I'm from. Because the neighbours are so loyal and so brilliant. And an example of that, when I did the first Celebrity Big Brother, the Daily Mail were going around all the neighbours offering them money to do stories on me and my mum and the family, and no one would speak, and everyone stood by the family, you know. It was a feeling of all looking out for each other, all protecting each other.
Full on goosebumps I've just got when you said that, because, you know, you say it over and over again, there's nowhere like Liverpool. There's just nothing like the Liverpool people.
And we've still got the same neighbours next door, Alan next door, the neighbours. who've been there for years, and they're just the most amazing neighbours.
Yeah.
And my mum stayed in the house, and we love it. And I go back, and and I've still got my childhood bedroom that I stay in, and I love it. It's where I grew up, and I'm proud of it.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
Talk to me about the big stars you've worked with, the Patrick Swayzes. We've got to talk about Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick was lovely. He was so lovely. I mean, to be fair, when I auditioned for Guys and Dolls, I was doing 60-minute makeover at the time. The audition came in for Guys and Dolls, and at the time, Ewan McGregor was in it, Jane Krakowski, and it was the show in London to go into,
Yeah.
And I auditioned for it, and I didn't get it. And I was really upset. And normally I'm dead philosophical. What's meant for you won't pass you by. And I didn't get it. I remember Neil Morrissey did it with Sally Ann Triplett. And then 6 months later, they get in touch with me. And they said, we want you to do it now. And we want you to co-star with Patrick Swayze. And to be fair, I wasn't a fan of Dirty Dancing. I was not into him. I was not.
Yeah.
All I thought is, I hope he's not Charlie Big Potatoes. I hope he knows his lines and he's not a dick. You know what I mean? That's
yeah,
what I thought
he's such
at the
a
time.
Big name, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
And, so the first time you met him, was he everything that the? Because I was a big fan of Dirty Dancing. Was he everything us big Dirty Dancing fans would expect?
He was a bag of insecurities.
No way.
I became very protective over him. He was a lovely man. And I didn't understand. He was quite nervous being out and about and all that. And I remember going to collect him from his flat for rehearsals. And he was like, I can't go here. I can't. I said to him in the break, at lunch break, I said, right, we're going round the corner to the cafe for some food. He says, hell, I can't do that. And he's giving it all that. I thought, sod off. So I gave him a cap. I said, put this on, come on. And I thought he was just like being a bit,
Yeah.
I thought he was being a bit dramatic. So the opening night of our show, I come out the stage door and there's riot police in the street and the street's packed. I've never seen anything like it. It's like the scenes from the Beatles in the 60s. The street is packed. There's riot police. And you can't get out. And I went, okay, I get it now. I thought he was like, being delusional, like not wanting to go out for lunch and stuff.
Yeah.
And I gave him a cap and said, get a grip, come on. And then you couldn't get a ticket for 6 months, but he was lovely. Oh, he was a gorgeous man.
Incredible. Would you put that up there as one of your favourite jobs you've ever done? Or can you give me like a top three? Because you've done some incredible things, Claire.
Yeah, there was that. There was, I sang at the Royal Albert Hall with Jose Carreras.
Mm-hmm.
A duet, the three tenors,
yes.
One of the three, I duetted with him at the Royal Albert Hall, which was wonderful. I was doing a concert, it's called Fainall, a music festival, Bryn Terfel, who's like the best bass baritone opera singer in the world. And I did a concert with him. And then his promoters contacted me and said, would you like to support Jose Carreras at the Royal Albert Hall? I was like, well, I thought it was a wind-up. And he wants to duet with you.
You must have just gone to pieces.
Oh, my God. I felt like stars in their eyes. I felt like such an imposter. And I just, started training my voice out. There was that. There's a few moments, There's moments in life I wish I'd have had someone to share it with, a partner, because I've been on my own a lot over the years. I had I had a This Is Your Life. You remember the programme, This Is Your Life?
Yeah.
And he surprised Michael Aspel surprised me at Abbey Road recording studios. I was recording with a 60-piece orchestra in the Beatles studio doing my album, and Michael Aspel come in and surprised me, and then I got taken and they did This Is Your Life, and I just broke up with someone who was kind of the love of my life, and I just thought, I wish he was with me to share this. I had my mum and dad sharing it with me, but it would have been nice to have had a life partner to share that type of stuff with. So there's many moments like that, And then there's moments that mean just as much to you as like when you took Jackson off me and held him, that
it's
have the same.
It's real life moments, isn't it? And the way things put them together. I mean, I was having a little look this morning at things, that you've done in your past and, going to Afghanistan and all that, Claire. Are people even aware of that? Tell us about that.
I was the first entertainer into Afghanistan, and that was quite amazing. I got asked to do, I became the Force's sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And I got asked to do a tour for the troops. And I went to Dubai, Oman, and then Afghanistan. I remember landing in Afghanistan on the plane. and it was the army plane, and it went into darkness as we were landing. And he said, "Well, I said, why is it all gone in darkness?" He said, the plane before us got shot at. And do you know what was amazing about that trip, Leanne? My brother was in the army, mm-hmm. and we'd led very separate lives. He'd gone away like 15 to join the junior leaders in Folkestone and stuff. And I stepped into my brother's life, and a lot of the soldiers knew my brother, and he was respected. And I thought, you know, all the years in the family, I've been seen as the success because I've slept around in a pair of fish and that's doing a bit of telly, you know. And I went to Afghanistan and I suddenly thought, my brother's a hero. My brother's amazing. And look what these guys are doing here. You know, they're making such a difference. And that was great. I sang on the back of a truck in Afghanistan and it was bloody brilliant.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
When you look back at your childhood, what would you say to a young Claire Sweeney?
Live in the moment. But you can't say that to kids. And I think that's just a life thing, isn't it? Live in the moment and enjoy each moment, because things pass quickly and success comes and goes and we have ups and downs, you know? And you can't, and I've done this anyway, try not to take things too personally. Enjoy your success, but don't revel in it, because when the bad times come, you know, you can't let it get you down. You've just got to try and keep a level head and remember it's a business. It's show business. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're going to have ups and downs. One minute you're number one minute you're number three in the dressing rooms. And just try and keep it all in perspective and keep it real. I've always said you can have it all, but not at the same time. You know, you're very lucky, Leanne. You have a wonderful husband, family and a great career. But that's rare, you know. Sometimes the career is going great and the personal life is going rubbish and, you know.
Totally hear you. Who looks after Claire then? So, you know, when you're having a shit day and something happens and you just, you know, you need someone, who looks after you? Because you're there looking after everyone else. Who do you turn to? Who looks after you?
No one, really. No one.
You've managed for years yourself, to just pull your own boots up yourself.
Yeah, I've had to, yeah. Well, that's moved me, that you're asking that question.
This is what happens when girls start having a proper honest gab, isn't it? We start going down routes that other people don't touch. And I think that's such an important thing for every woman to ask themselves. Who's got you?
I'll tell you who's a rock for me, Pete Price.
He's another one. You think you know. But unless you know, you've got no idea who Pete Price is.
I can call him. I can call him early hours in the morning. Any problems I have in my life, he's there for me. And he's a true friend. He's not a showbiz friend, you know. He's a true friend.
And in the sense, he'll give you an honest opinion, Claire. And that's what I love about Pete. People think they know him. They haven't got a clue. He would do anything for his friends. And he honestly, hands on heart, if I need someone to tell me exactly what I need to hear, that's the guy.
Yeah, call him. And I'll tell you, I'll give an example of that. And this was great. It was like 2002 and my career was literally flying high, right? And I get offered this record deal. Simon Cowell was wanting to sign me, Universal. All these people were fighting to sign me at the time. Yeah. And I went with Telstar Records and they were wanting me to record crap songs. They were wanting me to record stuff that I just, you know, I wanted to do classy stuff. And I wanted to do an album that I'd be proud of. And I felt like walking. I thought, I don't want to do this. They want me, and I, no disrespect, but they wanted me to record some ABBA songs and all that. And I was wanting to do big power ballads and things. Yeah. And I remember sitting in my car outside my flat, Waterloo Warehouse, and I called Peter. And Peter went, Claire, just do it. Compromise. Do the album and you'll always have it to look back on. Just do it. And I rang up and I went, right, I'm doing it. And now I've got this album that I'm so proud of, Abbey Road, 60-piece orchestra. I'm so proud of this album. And it was only for Peter just saying to me, just do it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
One final thing I do need to ask you. What do we look out for? What's coming up for you? The stuff that's actually booked in for you to do. If you could write it yourself, what would you write in for your next chapter, babe?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I've enjoyed doing. I've just done a show for Radio Merseyside. I know your city, but it's Merseyside. Yeah. And do you know what? It gave me the opportunity to get back home to my flat. And I spent an hour talking to Liverpool icons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to choose six songs. And we sat and spoke about their musical choices and about their life. And I had people like Paul O'Grady, Ricky Tomlinson, Sir Phil yeah. Redmond, Peter Reid, John Barnes. And I so enjoyed it.
So can you see yourself doing a bit of radio? You won't have to put your makeup on, babe, or get your roots done.
I know, but they've recommissioned it, so I'm really happy, really happy.
When can we listen to it and how can we listen to it?
Well, it's on Radio Merseyside and we don't have a transmission date yet, so I don't know about that, but it's called Claire Sweeney Meets and I really enjoyed that.
Fab, we'll look forward to that. I've got to ask, any men on the horizon, any love interest in Claire's life?
No, I'm completely single. And it's the best way, I'm telling you. It's too dramatic. Too dramatic, honest to God.
I love that. She's single, she's doing it all, and she's not telling you it's easy. So, again, Claire, thank you so much, my love.
Thanks,
I've loved
Leanne.
Every second. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, darling. Cheers, love. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store.
Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool
via ladiesofliverpool.com.